Well, I just have one question. In terms of Francis, is the commissioning board going to do anything to support CCGs in tackling that monitoring of quality of their contracts and to avoid a mid-staffs situation occurring again? Or are you going to leave it to the CCGs and they have to...
No, well, I mean, of our five domains, I mean, the patient experience and safety are, are two out of five.
Yeah.
So, yes, absolutely. It'll be part of the outcomes that we'll be expecting to see from CCGs. We'll work closely with them all along. I think critically is getting Don Berwick on board to actually help us all completely reconceive how we go about patient safety and patient experience.
Yeah, okay. And then also there's a lot of rhetoric coming out from the Department of Health about how we compare with our European neighbours on various things, and it seems to be painting a very negative picture of healthcare in the UK. But what you're saying from the Commonwealth report seems to show that actually we're doing better in other areas. Do you think that that kind of rhetoric is unhelpful for the NHS at the moment?
I would say you have to be driven by data. You have to look at the data and try to understand what it means.
But it can be manipulated.
But the Lancet, I think, is a very fair study.
Yeah.
And it identifies a number of things that we know. I mean, a number of conditions in the UK are a consequence of health inequality, access to good health care, but also lifestyle choices.
Yeah.
I mean, BMI is, you know, highly conditioned by lifestyle choices, tobacco use and alcohol and drugs. And we have the highest BMI in Europe. So that, I think, is a major cause of disability and premature mortality.
Okay.
So it is a negative picture, but the real question is the NHS grappling with it?
Is it?
It's difficult to grapple with it until the patient presents. One of the groups that I think is at some danger tends to be men between the age of 18 and, I don't know, 60, who often won't see a GP, or very rarely see a GP during that time. You know, women will have more regular contact with a GP through childbearing, through menopause and gynecological issues, through and men don't have that. And so if you're a man who's drinking too much and you're a bit obese, you're probably not tempted to go to see your GP if you think you're going to be lectured about lifestyle.
Yeah. Do you think that's a key challenge for CCGs to move beyond that patient contact? Because that's why they've been brought in. They've got that patient contact, so that's what you're utilising. Mm. However, you're saying that really
beyond that. A really good example is Blackpool CCG, which has some of the poorest life expectancy for men in the country, and is now starting to get to grips with this, listening to people in the community, working on alcohol strategies with and it's I think it's a sort of liberation that we're starting to see with CCGs really do need to do this, and I think they're up to it. I mean, when I looked at the plans for the CCGs that I went and sat in on the authorisation hearings, they were all on this.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's an opportunity.
And what's kind of in your intro at the moment? What's your main priority in terms of the commissioning board?
Oh, I think just trying to make sure that from the 2nd of April, the patients don't notice anything going wrong. You know, I mean, patients shouldn't be concerned with the wiring behind the scenes.
Yeah.
We have to make sure the wiring works. But it's a hugely complex set of reforms, and we're not providers.
Yeah.
We are commissioners, but we have to make sure that the way in which we behave and the way in which we use the money and the investing in the provider side brings about the changes we want.
Yeah.
But the first instance thing is just creating an entirely new organisation.